This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about dill.
So many puns.
Oh, goodness. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Any reason this one was on your mind?
We hadn't done an herb and or spice in just a second. I was thinking about this earlier this summer, but then Russia invaded Ukraine, and I didn't really want to think about them for a minute, so I've been putting it off.
Ah, well.
But here we are.
Here we are. Here we are. Well, I will tell you, my family is big into dill.
Yeah?
Yes. I think I've talked about this before. My brother loves dill pickles so much that he has a pickle Christmas ornament, which apparently is a German tradition, hiding the pickle. I think when we did that episode, we talked about it.
Listeners
wrote in and confirmed that it's a thing. I don't think my mom knew that when she got him the ornament.
I don't think it's a deep, deep tradition, but Yeah, it is. It is certainly a thing. I have had a dill pickle ornament. I'm not sure if it's just in storage or if it broke, but one way or another, why not hang a pickle ornament from your tree?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Well, we can fix this.
We can.
When we get to the bottom of what happened to your ornament, Lauren, we'll figure it out one way or the other.
Great, great.
Yes, my brother's favorite chips are dill chips, dill pickle chips. I just gave my mom a dill Bloody Mary mix, and she loved it.
All right, yeah.
And I love it, too. I love it in things like chickpea salad.
Fresh dill, dill weed. Yeah. I was thinking while I was writing the outline for this one, and I'm not sure if I've ever cooked with dill seed before. And now I'm like, why haven't I? That sounds delicious. Usually I only break out fresh dill when I'm making chicken soup. Because to me, it's like an integral part of matzo ball soup. So if that's what I'm up to, then I break out the fresh dill. But I don't know why I don't use it all the time. It's delightful.
It is delightful. And now I want to put it in my soup. You know I love soup, and it's soup season.
It is soup season now, officially. Mm-hmm. Yes, happy fall, y'all.
Happy fall, y'all. It is hard to break apart the history of dill without talking about pickles. So definitely see our pickle episode.
Yep.
And shout out to our coworker and friend Ramsey and his amazing homemade pickles, which we talked about in that.
Yeah.
They're delicious. I love them very much. But there's fresh dill in those in the jar he gives you.
For sure. Yeah. We are we're unionizing, y'all. The iHeart podcast team is working on bargaining a union contract with the company. And to our first in-person bargaining meeting, Ramsey, in fact, brought a jar of pickles.
And I bet it improved everything all the more for it.
Shared them across the table. It was lovely.
Oh, gosh, I'm so jealous. They are so good. So good.
Oh, they really are. They really are. I think we were eating them with chopsticks because we just didn't have any forks.
I love that. I think that's fantastic.
That's great. Anyway.
Anyway. All right. I guess this brings us to our question.
Mm-hmm.
Dill. What is it?
Well, dill is a plant used for both its feathery leaves as an herb and its tiny seeds as a spice, both of which add a little savory, lemony, pungent kick to just all kinds of savory dishes around the world. It's like a milder, happy medium between fennel and caraway. It's like... I'm biased because this just happened, but it's like the first day of fall. It's like a little crisp and bracing, but still so bright and warming, kind of sunny. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a cool sunshine. Like a, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that, again, excellent job, Lauren.
The dill plant, botanical name, Anethum graveolens, I think. Let's go with it. Yeah, dill is a member of the Apiaceae, or carrot, family, along with other herbs like parsley, caraway, and fennel. Dill looks a lot like fennel from the ground up. It grows these skinny stalks about 1 to 4 feet tall, like a third of a meter to a little bit over a meter, with these deep bluish-green leaves that grow in long, soft, fine needle shapes in these big feathery clusters. It'll flower with these big firework bursts of tiny little yellow blooms, similar to carrot or fennel or Queen Anne's lace, if you're familiar with that. If pollinated, dill will produce these small dry fruits, each of which contains a single seed. The seeds could be used culinarily, whole or ground, to season any number of dishes. And the feathery leaves are also used, fresh or dried, however you use herbs. Fresh is generally preferred because you do lose a lot of the flavor when you dry dill. Also, it's just pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That flavor is both herbal savory and a little bitter or bracing, a little bit of like licorice in there, a little bit lemony. The seeds taste a little bit warmer. The fresh herb can have like a grassy, slightly sweet note to it.
Oh, gosh. The cravings, Lauren. The cravings.
But I'm pretty sure the whole plant is edible, like including the flowers. Dill plants do grow a wee little taproot that looks sort of like a vampire got to an already anemic carrot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Banicula at it again.
Damn you, Banicula.
But dill has just right all kinds of savory applications in cuisines around the world. People put it in meat or bean or fish dishes, in rice or potato or vegetable or salad dishes, in savory pastries and breads, in dairy-based sauces and dips. It's great in pickling, right? Just a sampling of a few dishes that have dill as sort of a main flavor component. Swedish cured salmon, Greek stuffed grape leaves and tzatziki sauce, some kinds of Eastern European and or Russian borscht, and some German-style pickles. Yeah. But right, dill pickles, whole separate situation. Or mm-hmm. episode. It's a similar situation.
It's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
To be honest. Well, what about the nutrition?
Dill seeds and fronds are used as seasonings because they pack such a big flavor punch, which means that like you're not generally eating enough for them to have a very large dietary impact. though they are a great way to add flavor for a low caloric buck, if that's something that you're looking to do. And that being said, as we will get into in the history section pretty deeply, dill has been used medicinally to treat all kinds of things for thousands of years. And it does indeed contain a really good spread of vitamins and minerals and various other micronutrients with antioxidant and antimicrobial properties. So it and its extracts are under investigation for a number of potential medicinal applications. But as always, save our motto, you know, bodies are complicated, more research is necessary. Before consuming a medicinal amount of anything, you should check with a health professional who is not us.
I love this. I love that it's become like the very tired version of the like legalese on any prescription commercial. You're just like, oh, no, we're not medical professionals.
I have to admit, today I'm a very tired version of myself. So
yes.
That's okay.
You know, it happens. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Heck yeah.
So we have kind of a number for you.
Oh, man. This is one of those things where okay, so there is like a huge global market for certainly dill seed and dill oil, but it's one of the things that I couldn't access the precise numbers to unless I paid thousands and thousands of dollars for the market report. Mm-hmm. Which I honestly wasn't going to do ever.
Yeah.
So, so it's grown and used fresh in a lot of places. It's also processed for its seeds and its oils in a lot of places. Furthermore, I couldn't find any dill specific festivals, but there are a bunch of dill pickle festivals.
Yes.
Around the United States. Many of which incorporate a dill pun in their name, such as the Big Dill. And Just Dill With It.
And you can look forward to many of those puns coming your way, Lauren, when I am brainstorming for the title of this episode.
I do, in fact, look forward to that deeply. That is going to be a very bright spark in my week.
Yes, just like dill can add to all the kinds of things people like to add it to.
Yes.
Including ice cream. But yes, we've got quite a bit of history for you.
We do, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com. Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list.
even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino food ways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So Dill's history is a bit of a mystery. But historians generally think it originated in the Mediterranean and or Western Asia. The first known written mention of dill comes out of an Egyptian medical text from 3000 BCE. Dill was grown in Babylonian gardens by this time as well. According to some sources I found, the ancient Egyptians might have also used it, like, to keep witches and the like away. And also, say it with me, Al, as an aphrodisiac. Yep. I love it. Mark off that bingo card. Yep.
But I appreciate that this one is both witch repellent and aphrodisiac.
Right?
So good.
It's multifunctional. You don't want witches bothering you when you want an aphrodisiac. That's not what you want. Dill weed might have been seen as a sign of good luck during first century CE Rome, and the ancient Egyptians might have considered it as a symbol of wealth. They used dill in their scented oils, and the oil was sometimes utilized in winemaking. And the ancient Egyptians were not the only ones by far who used dill medicinally. And it was often used specifically for stomach issues. It was used for all kinds of things, which we'll get into for a minute, but a lot of stomach stuff, like as an appetite suppressant. I saw it called something really funny to me, like a basically like you use it in public so your stomach won't growl. In public. So it was called like a public quieting something. But yes, it was used for that and also for freshening breath. There is mention of something that is probably dill in the Bible. There's a little bit of a argument about what exactly, because it's a translation error, basically. Oh. Or there's two different translations. One is dill and one is like something that is not dill. But most people seem to think it was dill.
Okay.
Anyway, Dioscorides wrote about the healing power of scorched dill seeds, particularly for wounded soldiers. Our plow Pliny wrote about it, too, that among other things, it could stayeth the hiccups.
Stayeth.
Which I put the hiccups. I know. I love that. Stayeth the hiccups. It was called something else, but I put the hiccups in because no one would have known. I didn't know what it was, but it was hiccups.
It was
a different word, but it was hiccups. The Romans used dill for their soldiers, and gladiators were fed meals covered in dill in the hopes of boosting their courage. Dill has been used to treat all kinds of ailments. An ancient Egyptian medical document recommends it as a painkiller. The ancient Greeks may have placed dill over their eyes as a sleep aid, which I love. I mean, that sounds nice. Dill water might have been used to soothe babies with colic, and it was often prescribed for women who were breastfeeding. Some accounts suggest that Charlemagne demanded that bottles of dill oil were available at meals to combat hiccups or stomach issues or stomach noises, particularly because he hated those, I guess. He apparently really detested it. Later, herbalist Nicholas Culpepper described dill as a tonic for the brain. So, yeah, a lot of things, a lot of things. And then, okay, so I'm always a tad hesitant to include myths and folklore from places and time periods that I don't really have a lot of experience with. Just because a lot of times I think it can, I can only find it in like one or two places. The details are vague. And I think there can sort of be this vibe of like, look at these silly people and their beliefs.
Oh, yes, those other people and their ridiculous ideas. Let's buy an NFT.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little hard to explain, but I have to include a few of them around dill that I found.
Okay.
Because they are quite fun. And listeners, if you have any more info, please let us know, as always.
Oh, yeah.
And we do genuinely, we love this stuff. We genuinely love this stuff. So we are not making fun so much as sharing something legit.
Grain of salt. Also, it's delightful.
Exactly. So, witches. All right. As mentioned, dill was often used to fend off witchcraft. Historians think this might be because of the strong smell, perhaps. People might have hung it up around their houses or wore it in a charm. And they might have thought that if, you know, they'd been cursed, let's drink this dill water and that would rid you of the curse. It was also believed that witches used dill in their spells. So multifaceted again. Aphrodisiacs. Also, as mentioned earlier, some cultures thought that dill was an aphrodisiac. And as an extension of that, they might have used it in love potions.
Okay.
And on top of that, this believed connection to love may have translated to some wedding ceremonies. So based on this, I found this in two places. Some European brides might have worn a sprig of dill and or included some in their bouquets on their wedding day to bless their marriage with happiness. But on the other hand, for a woman who wanted to be in charge of the household, she might have secretly carried seeds of mustard and dill to the wedding and say, "I have you mustard and dill. Husband, when I speak, you stay still." Again, listeners, if you know more about this, because I read that and I was like, ooh, I don't know. It's interesting. I like it, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know.
I think we have talked about that before. I can't. It was in another herb. So I guess that's sort of a, maybe it's a popular legend or maybe practice, but of putting the thing in for the woman to be the in charge of the household. European monks might have thought that dill would keep away the incubus or male demons looking to prey on sleeping women as well. So there's quite a few legends, stories around dill, which I enjoy. And yeah, because dill was prized in Europe, as we move out of our kind of myths and folklore session.
Not just for witches and incubi, et cetera.
Exactly. I love that. Witches, incubi, et cetera. No, it was quite prized. And in Europe, because of that, it was often the subject of taxation and or tithing. Although I believe that mention in the Bible was about tithing, using dill as and tithing. But Edward I of England, for instance, he needed money to repair the London Bridge during the late 1200s and early 1300s, somewhere in there. He implemented a few initiatives to fund these repairs, including a tax on dill and other spices and herbs, which one of the fun things about this show is I feel like I know a lot more about like old timey taxes now, but I feel like we've talked about this before. I think we have. Dill was a popular herb in England in the 17th century, and it was a staple of many kitchen gardens. When Eastern Europeans arrived to America in the 1600s and 1700s, they brought their recipes with them. Many of these recipes incorporated dill. And yes, as I said, for a lot of our history, it's almost impossible to separate dill from pickles.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a food podcaster Googling it. You can see our pickle episode for a lot more information, but very, very briefly, pickles at their simplest are brined fruits and vegetables. They've been around since ancient times. They they start popping up in the Rent Record around when Dill does. And Dill probably showed up in the mix for pickles pretty early on. Pickles often made with dill were a staple for Jewish people in Eastern Europe. And when many of them immigrated to the U.S. in the 18 and 1900s, they introduced these pickles to the country, or localized areas in the country at least, on a larger scale. And to this day, dill pickles is what comes to mind for a lot of Americans when they think about pickles.
Yeah.
So, yes, a big deal indeed. And I will say, like, this was one, there wasn't that much on it. And I couldn't tell if it's because it's one of those things that people just were, it was around and they didn't write about it that much. But I do know for a fact, like, this was a very kind of Western European look at dill. And so there's a lot missing. So, again, listeners, if you have any information, resources, stories, please let us know.
Yeah, I think that with a lot of these herbs, part of the reason that it's hard to dig up historical information about them is that they were so common and so easily moved around. You know, the seeds are portable. And so when people moved, they moved with the seeds. And so therefore, they made their way into all of these different cuisines and through all of these different trade routes. And because the people, in the case of English language histories writing about them, you know, they didn't come from some exotic place. Mm-hmm. They just came from Europe. So therefore, we weren't bowled over by them like we were by, say, cinnamon.
Right.
And so without that boost of exoticism, it was just like, oh, yeah, dill. It's dill. It's everywhere. Cool. Yeah. Don't need to write about that. It's just dill.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I didn't really look into it, but because it's called dill weed, I did assume, like, it must have been pretty, like, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
And also, like, no joke, it was so much of the results when I was searching were about pickles.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it a bit difficult as well, because people are more excited to write about pickles, I guess, than they are about dill.
Yeah.
Or at least that was my experience.
Yeah. It for sure, right. It's incorporated in so many different cuisines. Please, if you have a recipe from your neck of the world that incorporates dill seeds or fresh dill, let us know.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But, all right, I think that brings us to the end of what we have to say about dill for now.
It does. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things.
Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. Like the falling of the leaves.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Barbie wrote, I just finished listening to another podcast with the two of you talking about fictional foods in a show I've never heard of. It got me wondering why there is not an episode about any of the fictional food that is in my world. The obvious answer is that I am a reader rather than a watcher of TV or film. One of my favorite fictional foods is from Sue Grafton's novels about private investigator Kinsey Milhone. Kinsey is too busy to keep much food at her house and frequently comes home late at night, and her only choice is a peanut butter and pickle sandwich made with chunky peanut butter and bread and butter pickles. Since I keep neither of those items or bread at my house, it is always a fantasy for me to have one. I love that you can talk about things totally unknown to me and make them so much fun. Well, that's good to know. I know you've written in about that before, and it continues to be a relief.
Yeah.
Because we do get so excited about those episodes. And I mean, we joke about it when we do them, but we're always like, "Who? If you don't know what we're talking about, I don't know that this makes any sense."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Although, I don't know, man. There's any number of topics that we go into about real foods in the real world that one or both of us have very little experience with, that we're like, whoo, this could be anything. Like, what?
Truth. That is very, very true. But also, I've never heard of this. I've never heard of this particular fictional property. But the peanut butter and pickle sandwich, I have heard of.
Yeah.
I have tried. It was pretty good.
did we make one? Or was that a...
We did a mayo peanut butter pickle, yeah. Okay. And I wasn't happy about the mayo part, but the pickle peanut butter, I get that.
Yeah, salty and sweet. It's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. But I love that that's like a, I didn't know. To me, that kind of came out of the internet a couple of years ago. I like that it's included in this and that it's also kind of a fantasy for you because you don't have those items. Should add it to the list.
Yeah. Bread and butter pickles. I've been thinking about dill pickles all episode, and now I'm like, oh, but bread and butter pickles.
Yeah. Uh-huh. People have their pickle preferences. That is for sure.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I just like a pickle. Okay. Anyway. Julia wrote, growing up in St. Petersburg, I remember constantly going to Tampa for authentic Cubans. Cuban sandwiches, that is. And there were so many old, well-established sandwich shops using La Segunda bread and making an amazing traditional Cuban sandwich. I never even knew Miami tried to pretend it had something to do with it until I was older, and I immediately recognized it as hogwash. While it is less prominent now, the Tampa Bay area was awash in Cuban culture and cuisine. Most of the coffee shops sold Cuban coffee, and many of the pastries were Cuban-derived. I distinctly remember the difference between my mom's American-style sugar cookies and the amazing Cuban-style sugar cookies we would get at the beach or when out and about. Cuban sugar cookies have this wonderful, crunchy, sandy top layer that's just so texturally exciting, and I'm getting nostalgic thinking about it. While Albertsons is no longer in Florida, I distinctly remember that they had big hot cases full of fresh-baked Cuban bread by the registers, and I later learned it's normally French bread. Seeing how much Cuban history is in the area, I can't imagine anyone believing swampy Miami could have created this sandwich. I think the news media willingly printing such blatant lies helped erode the public trust in the media. The idea of fake news was born in Miami when they tried to steal a classic Tampa sandwich and claim it as their own.
Strong opinions, yes.
I think a few people have written about this recently because there was an article that got published about this whole thing pretty recently, and I love it. You all are like, no, wait a minute. Let me weigh in.
It's so great. It's so great.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Yeah, I love, there's one of the like Office Park food courts that I went to recently by our new offices has a Cuban sandwich place, and they offer, or like a sandwich press place, and they've got two varieties of the Cuban, the Miami variety and the Tampa variety. And I adore that they're not even choosing. They're just like, look, y'all, like order what you want.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that.
That's essentially us in that episode we did on the Cuban sandwich in an actual shot form where we're just like raising our hands up.
Yeah, nope.
Backing away.
Yeah, do what you want. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you no.
It's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. Yes, well, definitely check out that episode. If like the fictional food, you're listening to this and aren't entirely sure what we're talking about, because we talked about it in the Cuban sandwich episode at length.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, thanks to both of these listeners for writing in. Mm-hmm. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
You can also find us on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.